Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 304. This is the broken edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Why is that? Well, because today, while in the middle of work, I happened to break my hand. So everything and anything that I could try and do for the rest of the day has taken 17 times longer than it should, including putting the show notes together because, of course, I broke my right hand. So that's my mousing hand. That's my typing hand. That's pretty much everything that I try and do hand. So I apologize for the shoddy quality of the today's show. It's not going to hopefully affect the audio, but you know what? The show must go on. I'm still wide awake. There's no real reason for me to be so. It's 12:35 in the a.m. as I'm starting to record this, despite the fact that I had everything set up a little while ago. It's just not working out to be a good day. And in that same vein, there's a lot of other changes that are going to happen a little bit later on, just for today and a couple other shows in the future. Just in case you were wondering, this is the Caffeination Podcast. We are the place you go for your high-octane information about caffeine culture and technology news. Today's show is going to deal a little bit more with the tech side than the caffeine side. There just wasn't a lot of fresh content that was piping hot and ready to serve to all of you. So we're going to hold off for that, except we do have a little bit of a caffeinated thing in that today is also the drawing for the 3-in-3 contest. In our celebratory mood of celebrating, rather, 300 episodes and 3 years on the inner tube airwaves, we have a fun little giveaway that we're going to be proceeding with today. We're going to be giving away 4 prizes for 3-in-3, so hopefully everybody out there is going to enjoy that. You should have already entered because, I mean, this isn't a live radio program, so if you didn't enter, you're pretty much out of luck at this point. Unless I get a fun little email while right before I draw, I'm not going to actually do it. We're going to be doing it via the random number generator. I think it's over at random.org. I have to actually pull it up. I generated the numbers and then kind of blew out there. So we had a decent turnout for this contest. I'd like to thank any and everybody who submitted their name. And in the future, if you missed out, if this is the first episode you're listening in, I highly suggest that you know, you just stick around. We're bound to do it again. We're going to try and make this a little bit more of a commonplace occurrence. I'd like to thank everybody for sticking with us. This show, however, it does have a fun sponsor. This show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Business travel is a profitability killer, so do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, the easiest online meeting service. With just a click, launch sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from the comfort of your own desk. GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and use. You'll have your first meeting running in seconds, plus hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. Free voice over IP and phone conferencing included. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. With this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all the fun stuff that we do around these parts, and you know, so it's always fun to work with a vendor and work with software that's as easy to use. I wish they made software that would type everything out that I was saying. Unfortunately, I haven't found a really good one of them. I'm still looking around because I have all these reviews, I have all this articles and everything I'm supposed to be writing, and it hurts to type. I know it's going to ease out after a couple days, but you know, I'm not going to complain and kvetch much longer, I promise. I do, however, wanted to give you a quick little rundown on what you're going to hear about on today's show. You're going to hear about fractures, bookmarks, Legos, robots, tech, lunch, and Windows 7. Kind of a little bit of a roundabout way of getting to the fun stuff here. And just to let you know how I actually broke my hand, because that's a question I've been receiving quite often. I am the proud recipient, of a rather interesting disease. It's a genetic disease that only one other person in my family, and that's a second cousin, I think, has. And she has it in her knees, so I think I'm a little bit better off. But in my hands, on both hands, actually, in the fourth and fifth finger, there is no bone, for sake of the argument here. It's mostly cartilage. It's a fun little disease called osteoenchondromatosis. That kind of rolls right off the tongue there. Most of the people who've ever seen my x-rays kind of just scratch their head, including the doctor today, and that was a very reassuring thing. But basically it means that the bones are very brittle in just those areas. So I was lifting a nice big heavy printer in work today, and I haven't had an issue with this problem for over 7 or 8 years, and halfway in between going up and coming down, my finger snapped. There's no other way to kind of put it. Just imagine you have a twig and you're putting a lot of pressure on the front end, and then in the middle it just kind of pops after a certain extent. That's basically what happened. Ungodly pain at the time. Pretty good amount of pain right now, but we're trying to manage that. We have a little bit of the painkiller action going on, so that's maybe another reason for the fast and loose delivery we're giving you here at the Caffeination today. The other big change is, since it hurts so much to type, because the lovely doctors who fixed up my hand decided, instead of a every other cast that I've ever had, which, by the way, I think I've had around 9 or 10 casts, but every other cast has been straight. You know, the fingers are pointing straight out from the hand. This guy bent it down so that if you were to hold your hand up in front of your face and then bend your fingers, they're pointing to the left of you. You know, if you hold your right hand up and then bend your fingers so they're pointing off to the left of you, kind of like at a right angle, that's how he has it. And he says, well, I'll leave your index finger and your thumb out so you can write. Yeah, that's great, but because you bent my fingers in that fun little angle, I can't reach the paper because you have kind of like a 3-inch little block off. That also happens to work for the keyboard, so it hurts to type. So it's kind of a... I'm in a little weird place. I am the computer guy. I like being active, but you need to kind of be able to type to be active. Even mousing's proving to be a little bit of a pain in the rear end right now. So one of my solutions, if you use Firefox, there used to be something called Google Browser Sync, where you could set it up on one computer, and then when you moved to the other one, you would have all your bookmarks and everything all settled in nice in a little row. I'm using a service called Foxmarks, so just do a Google search for Foxmarks, or you can click on my Foxmarks shared links, and it'll send you over to their homepage. But it's fantastic. It's a plugin you can install on any one of the installations of Firefox you use, and it keeps everything up to date. But it also has another fun little feature that allows you to click on a folder or click on a single or individual bunch of bookmarks and actually share them out. So what I've done for today's show, rather than try and pass all along the savings and write everything out and cause myself no end of pain, I've decided that I'm just going to, you know, have all the bookmarks listed up over there, and I'm just going to share them out as a one folder of bookmarks. So if you'd like to follow along here, you can just head on over there. They were sort of in the order, but unfortunately they're not so much anymore, so I apologize to that, but hopefully everything will work out here. I'm still working on a couple of the other problems that we've been having, but thank you everybody who's been dealing with this here. Just to give you a quick little rundown, if you are looking for this show, it is located lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. We are the Caffeination Podcast. Like I said, despite the fact that we've been complaining a good deal on this episode so far, hopefully it won't be too much in the future, we are the only place you can go for caffeine culture and technology news in the same lovingly wrapped bundle. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, please feel free to send me an email at caffeination@gmail.com. And now, without further ado, we're going to do our 3-in-3 contest giveaway. These are the entries that we received that we are going to be picking from. So what we're going to do here is we have 3 boxes of cookies, and we are going to then be raffling off the last little thing there is going to be the free pound of fresh roasted coffee. Now, these are not just any cookies. These are from Buzz Strong over at buzzstrong.com. These are coffee cookies. These are unbelievably moist and fascinating and fantastic all over the place. So the first person that we're going to pull here from the random number generator is Joe Wilson. So Joe, you're getting a box of cookies. Thank you so much for listening to the Caffeination Podcast. The second person that we're going to be pulling out of the hat right over here is actually my mother. My mom listens to the podcast. So, Veronica, you are getting a box of Buzz Strong cookies. The third person that we're going to be pulling out from here over at the Caffeination Podcast is Chris. Thank you so much for entering. You are going to be soon to be the proud recipient of a box of Buzz Strong cookies. And for everybody, I'm going to be emailing you, first of all, congratulating you on winning. And for everybody who's not my mother, I'm going to be sending you an email asking if you would mind sending me your address, and I will wrap up the cookies just as soon as I can and send them winging off to you, so you'll be able to enjoy them hopefully very shortly. And then last but most certainly not least, we have the grand prize, I guess you could say, of the little contest that we got going here, but a pound of fresh roasted coffee from weeklyroast.com. Ken over at Weekly Roast has lovingly donated a pound of, basically you call it, so he's going to get into contact with you and find out how that all goes. And the winner for this is Chuck Stanley, host of the Eagles Fancast. Chuck actually entered a little while ago, so congratulations, Chuck. It's been pretty cool. So we're happy we got all four winners here at the Caffeination Podcast. So thank you to everybody who entered. If you did not win, I'm very sorry. Maybe you can catch us as it comes around again on the guitar. It's a fun little thing that we got going for you here. I got to make sure I mark everything down. Yeah, this has been really kind of fun to play around with. So we like giving stuff away. The problem is we don't have enough money to buy stuff for everybody, so it's really good when you can work with other partners and everything to actually get it working. So if you have any products or anything that you see out there you think might be a good match and we'd like to work with the company, then please feel free to fire us an email and send us in their general direction. All right, now before we lose too many listeners, you know, all the people who didn't actually get to win this week, again, we're very sorry. We might as well, we're going to be moving right along here into the GeekCruft section, so we're going to be diving on into the Foxmark shared folder and pulling out the stories as we're going to talk about them. The first one is a TED Talk. I'm not going to, you know, play the entire thing here, but I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of an idea about this. TED is a conference where it's incredibly expensive to go to, but they actually put the presentations out on the internet. It's really fantastic. These people are like top of the game, cream of the crop when it comes to forward-thinking people in technology sense. The tagline is ideas worth spreading. Now, this, I may have talked about this in the past, but this is a wonderful presentation by Blaise Aguirre. I'm sorry if I mispronounced and butchered his name, but he's a gentleman who works for Microsoft, and he's working on a technology called Photosynth. Now, the Photosynth technology recently came into view because they attempted to use it for the inauguration. They tried to use it for a bunch of different crowd shots and everything else like that, and it worked wonderfully. But if you'd like to see where it came from and what Microsoft is looking to do with it, then I highly suggest you head on over there and check out Blaise's talk. It's beautiful. The idea behind it is that you can take any image and build a composite image out of a bunch of other images on top of it. So one of the examples he uses, which is so, it sticks in my head so much that I can't ever seem to get around it, is actually the Notre Dame Cathedral. And what they did was they went onto Flickr and they searched for Notre Dame, and any of the pictures that they had from it, they pulled down into a database. And then using their software, they actually found reference points within each one of the pictures that's up there to actually map onto the actual structure, so that you could zoom in and zoom out depending on the number of images and the resolution of them and moving in. And not only that, but with Photosynth, you know, moving beyond just that, they were able to actually take like pictures of newspapers and zoom in on ads, and then zoom in on technical specifications that were at the bottom of the ads. You could read entire books. I mean, this is a fantastic new project that's really, really gorgeous in how it works with image that's on the screen, images and information that's on the screen. It is a complete quantum leap, paradigm shift, whatever technical buzzword you want to throw at it, ahead of any intelligence management software that you've ever seen. It's really going to be fascinating. I mean, imagine, I don't know how many people out there actually use Picasa, but Picasa is a fantastic program put out by Google that allows you to manage your image collection. It's similar to iPhoto, but it offers a little bit different subsets of information that you can put in there. I'm actually much more partial to Picasa than iPhoto and most other photo management software. I don't know where I would be without it in managing my massive collection of both personal and work photos. So, it, you know, when you're sorting through there and you can manage things and you can move them from left and right, it's such a different way of managing the information that I have a feeling the Photosynth, if it takes off, if it moves in the right way with Microsoft's guidance here, then I really have a feeling that they're going to be able able to open up whole new lanes of discovery in the information technology world. And it's going to be fantastic. So, all right, moving along. We have a ton of LEGO articles today. Norbert Davis from over at the Totally Cool Tech podcast has been fast at work sending me tons of LEGO stories. And I just love LEGO so much that I had to pass it along. All right, the first thing up here is a LEGO camera that can't be taken apart. Now, it's a camera that's built entirely, or at least it's made to look like it's been built entirely out of LEGO bricks, except for the lens and the flash and everything like that. I love the idea of this, and I'm not sure if it's actually a LEGO... I know it is an official LEGO camera, and yes, so that it actually fits into the brick scheme, but it needs to work with things like the LEGO Mindstorm kit so that it actually, you know, you can use it as part of the LEGO paradigm, so that you can take pictures with it using the leather LEGO attachments. I think that would really, really be cool. Alright, moving right along, yet another thing, it's the Asgard flagship from Stargate, lovingly recreated with thousands of LEGOs. I don't know what it is about people that they are starting to create these massive, like, you know, 20-foot-long spaceships with LEGOs. I mean, not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with that, but when you're looking at some of these things and how big and bulky and just, like, thick, you have to wonder, first of all, if they're married, because this one's obviously built in somebody's den or living room, and I just can't imagine that flying with your significant other. No matter how much anyone loves LEGOs, you're not going to find two people who have that same amount of love. I mean, I don't care what your particular orientation is in regards to LEGOs, it's not... It would be hard to find somebody this into it for as a mate in life. That's all I could say. They're saying that this one has tens of thousands of pieces, and there's no word yet on exactly how much it costs. But just looking at it, just looking at the sheer magnitude of black pieces alone that they had to use and compile, I mean, this thing probably weighs somewhere around like 150 pounds. So I just wanted to pass it along to you out there. All right, now the next one that's up here, this is a lot more of an innovative use of LEGOs, and this uses a little bit of the Mindstorm kits and uses a little bit more ingenuity. It actually makes a working WALL-E robot from the Disney Pixar movie. This is a WALL-E version where it rolls around, it can move around, do all that, so it has the fun little gears that come with some of them from the, I think they're the Mindstorms that have the gears, but it also has the contraption where it closes down into a complete cube. So it folds completely up and locks itself away. That's fantastic, because when WALL-E goes to sleep, he turns into the cube. That's it. So it's a really, really well done rendition of WALL-E, and I kind of wanted to take my hat off to the people and make sure that it got its due, you know? All right, and up next, we have yet another story, but this one's from over at Gizmodo about LEGOs, and this one's recreating. Now, there's a lot of fun tech stories that have been floating around about the inauguration. One of them is the use of the photosynth technology, but I figured, you know, people were tired of that, so I went back to the original stuff. Now, the next one is, I don't know why people are recreating scenes with LEGOs, other than the fact that it is sheer awesomeness, but this is recreating the... inauguration using thousands and thousands and thousands of LEGO minifigs. So when you're staring at it, it's almost to the scale that you saw in the actual event. And the funny thing is that they actually did it beforehand. And they actually went through and they tried to match some of the minifigs up to the people who they were supposed to be, supposed to be. So you can actually see Joe Biden, Jill, President George W. Bush, First Lady Laura Bush, etc., etc. So I wonder if they actually went down to the level where, since Dick Cheney was in a wheelchair for the inauguration, did they actually have him in a wheelchair in the LEGO model? I couldn't tell, but I wanted to pass it along anyway. And then I think this is the last, or the second to last little LEGO story we had for you here today. This is a recreation of Back to the Future, so it has Marty, it has the Doc, it has the DeLorean. The only thing I couldn't see is if it has a LEGO flux capacitor, because that would just round out the entire thing. This is from over at Flickr, so you got to know that it has a lot of love over there. And then the next to last little thing, or the actual last little thing we have from LEGO, is actually something that was sent to me by Ben Straw from Twitter. Not Flickr, it's too much Flickr stuff going around, but it's Minfig Fashion Statement, the t-shirt, and it basically speaks to the very real problem that a minfig must face on a on any given day. But it's a little bit of an identity crisis, because you have the very stoic and the very similar body type from day to day, but there's just so many different heads that you could wear. You could be the geek, you could be the stormtrooper, the zombie, there's just a pirate, there's so many different things that a minfig could be, and this is a t-shirt, so I thought it was really cool, and it's only $16, but they're advertising it over at Gizmodo, so I thought it was pretty cool, and I thought I would pass it along to you. Alright, moving right along, there's an interesting little MacBook case that I heard about on Twitter that they basically said that this is the worst MacBook case ever. However, I disagree. This is a wooden laptop case with leather lining and magnetic closing for an Apple MacBook and MacBook Pro 15-inch. What I look at it when I see this is that this, if it was real, I'm not sure if it actually is. It looks more like a model. But actually, I think it might be because they said photographs. But this looks to be a beautiful example of woodworking. That's all I'm taking away from it. Not that I think it would be incredibly durable or anything like that. It probably is waterproof to the point where if you splash water on something, it's not going to get into the laptop. But when you're looking at this, this just reeks of craftsmanship. And the more I see it, the more I see the genius in it, because it's not a laptop when you're looking at it. It hides it away from prying eyes, and it's a very beautiful place to keep the laptop. So Macs have this this aesthetic about them that's always very modern and everything. So this kind of shifts the aesthetic away from something modern to something a little bit more natural. So I thought it was a little bit interesting, so I thought I'd pass it along to everybody out there. Alright, moving right along. Going from something that's aesthetically natural to something that's incredibly not. This is a V8 powered snowblower that can probably plow through cars too. But apparently somebody had an extra V8 engine lying around, and in this realm of environmental awareness, they decided that what they would do is they would make an absolutely massive snowblower out of it. And of course, that they were making it to send it into Popular Science, what they did was they actually used some kind of either laser cutter or plasma cutter or something to actually cut out Popular Science on each one of the two tail fins on the thing. I don't know exactly how much of a snow pile it could cut into, but it's capable of actually throwing the snow in question up to 100 feet. So this would be awesome. To actually, the thing itself weighs over 800 pounds, and we haven't gotten hardly any snow here in Philadelphia this winter. So I just keep looking at this and saying, you know, there's always that one neighbor on the block, at least in Philly, where they're more than happy to shovel out that one tiny little parking spot where their car is and then move on their merry little way. This would be great if you're walking down the street, you're helping everybody out, and you just kind of angled it towards that one tiny little parking spot that they lovingly staked out. All right, moving right along. From something that's incredibly unnatural and incredibly out there, we're working at something a little bit more behind the scenes. But one of the biggest problems when it comes right down to it with surround sound setups is that the speakers are kind of out there in the open. They're a little ostentatious. You know, when you walk into a room that has surround sound, it's almost immediately noticeable. Unless the person is incredibly well off, or in case the person is incredibly neat and tidy about the way everything is done. Usually it looks a little more than a little bit sloppy. I'm not even going to lie. In the surround sound setup upstairs in the Caffeination living room, it's not done the best it could be. There's just not the area that we have a kid running around. It's just not going to work out to be in perfect placement all the time. And I would like to commend myself on the fact that the wires are not laying out in the open. It's not a tripping hazard. It's not a fire hazard. I think it's relatively well done. But this takes it to a whole new level. And this is over at Yanko Design, so obviously it's still a design prototype kind of thing, but this is called the sound bulb. And the idea behind this is that you would take and you would put these wireless Bluetooth enabled light bulbs around the room in question, and it would be in lamps or other things like that, and they would be able to wirelessly communicate with each other. They also can produce light, and they produce high-quality sound because of the glass resonance that's in them. I love this idea, and I think it would actually be funny if for the subwoofer you had to put like a floodlight behind the TV or something like that. I just think it would be it's about time that people started realizing the convergence in technologies, and that things have to start working together as opposed to creating their own little paradigm, their own little kingdom of tech that fits into each other. So it's really interesting. They have the standard bulb, they have the floodlight one, and that appears to be the only two examples that they have here. But you can tell right off the bat that if this should ever come to fruition, it would be incredibly and prohibitively expensive, at least for me. So I just wanted to pass it along. Alright, up next, a little bit of information about the piracy in the DS. I was unaware of this, but the DS is apparently incredibly easy to pirate video games for. And it's all due to an interesting little cartridge that you can get called a pass-through cartridge. So if you ever played a Nintendo DS, they have a fun little card that fits into the back of it. And you would think that if you were selling cartridges that you wouldn't really be able to pirate. Well, the video games are relatively small, from 30 to 60 megabytes if you were to total them up and download them. And that's pretty much about the size of a podcast or two. So they're relatively small. So there are these individual and specialized cartridges that allow you to put something like a real memory card into the back of them, thus a path through. So it has on the front end the availability of being put into a DS, and on the back end it can take commonly acceptable file formats, you know. So these devices in and of themselves are enabling piracy. So Japan is trying to kind of clamp down on them, and the makers of Nintendo video games in the next version of the DS, called the DSi or the IDS, I'm not sure exactly which way they're going, they've actually eliminated the Game Boy cartridges, and they've done a couple other things, and they've actually put in tests for pass-through cartridges so that you're not going to be able to use them. And I just didn't realize that there was this much thought that had gone into it, because I didn't even know. I mean, usually when you hear about pirated video games or pirated stuff, it's kind of right out there in the open, but I guess the DS pirating is a little bit more of an underground. And the story actually goes on to say that one of the reasons that the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, was one of the biggest console sellers of all time was because it was incredibly easy to pirate games for it. So that even if somebody pirated a game, they might end up going out and buying it. So the console had new life because they were able to freely share the copies of games. So I thought that was really cool, and I thought I'd pass it along. Alright, staying within the little seedy underbelly of the internet, we're going to talk another story about Slashdot. An FBI agent spent over 3 years undercover with identity thefts and has pulled in prevented over $70 million in bank fraud. It resulted in 59 arrests. First of all, 3 years and only 59 arrests, I'm a little upset, a little sad. However, the primary reason that I wanted to talk to you about this story is because the special agent involved, Keith Malarski, when he went undercover in the seedy world of darkmarket.ws, where all the identities were bought and sold, he went by the handle of Master Splinter. So throwing a little bit of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle thing in there, I thought it was relatively interesting and cool. So the story that they linked to on Slashdot, I'm sure, is incredibly detailed and beautiful in its own right, in that it's kind of gives you an insight into how investigations take place. And a lot of discussion has taken place since. They said, well, why are you outing this guy? Well, if he spent that long undercover and he's now out, what makes you think that he's going to be successful in doing the same things going forward? I mean, everybody has to realize that you need to evolve within law enforcement, within anything. When you're trying to do something and you're trying to actually reach an ends to a mean like that, you don't want to keep going over the same ruts. You don't want to create your own ruts in the road and just drive the wagon until you can't get them out of them. You have to constantly veer off course a little bit. So maybe this interesting little sting operation worked for a little bit of time. It took him a certain amount of time to actually get that far undercover, and he can't do the same things to get back. People are now looking for that. So rather than letting the bad guys, quote unquote, just say, okay, they're looking for that, they took it one step further and said, not only we know that you're looking for that, but we're going to out it and say to everybody else that, hey, this is how we did it. So that way, in case it works on for another law enforcement agency, then, hey, for all the better. And if it works, then shame on those bad guys who couldn't really get it. All right, moving right along, an interesting little story from over at Device called the Quantum Gravity Watch Defies Laws of Physics, economics, and sanity. There is no price for this thing yet named. It supposedly defies gravity, although I'm not really sure how it does that. And you're going to have to wait until March 26th to figure out how to tell time with it. It's a crazy piece of machinery that is gorgeous in and of its own right. It has all of the hallmarks for a wonderful piece of steampunk design, in that it has lots of intricate little gears and brushed metal and spinning dials and whatnot. There's no real reason to figure out how you can tell time on it, and I don't know if using gears ever really means it can defy gravity. Unless you can drop it and it just stays there, this thing's not defying gravity. You know what I mean? While I'm all for the beauty of the design and the wonderfulness of mechanics, I just can't bring myself to kind of fawn over a watch where it doesn't even... It's not only intrinsically difficult to tell time, but it looks to be intentionally done so, you know? All right, another little thing that was sent in, but I thought it was just kind of cool in and of itself, was a Ninjatex pierce your papers silently. So rather than using a shuriken or a throwing star to actually put your papers on a cork board, this is a partial shuriken with two little like corn husker stabs on it. So it looks like two tiny little tacks. What it looks like this is it's one shuriken for $12. You know what? You can buy individual shurikens for like $3 at your local martial arts store, and the points on them function to hold up paper as well. So you'd probably be better off saving yourself a little bit of money. All right, moving right along. There's a lot of stories that are going out about right now about Windows 7 and the taskbar, and whether or not it beats Mac OS X's dock. Now, if you were unaware of what those two things, if you're using Windows right now and you look at the bottom of your screen, you're going to see one gray or blue bar going across the bottom. It shows you all the windows you have open. On the one side, it might have a quick launch bar where you can click little things, and the other side, it has the clock. Well, that's kind of been a standard in Windows for a little while. On the Macs, they have a dock. It's a selection of applications that can be open, and a selection of applications that are open right now that allow you to quickly access and move between things. It's a very useful feature. In fact, I actually had a fake dock on my PC and work and at home for quite a long time because I love the ability to actually just have the quick launches available there. Well, Windows has upgraded the taskbar in Windows 7 to not only show you which programs are live, but show you in a less irritating way than Macs when programs need your attention. In Macs, when programs need your attention, they start bouncing and jumping in the dock, and it's more than a little distracting. So in Windows, apparently they actually are going to start glowing orange. They're going for a much less or a much more understated appearance in the taskbar. There's a lot of things that Windows is seeming to be doing right in the next version of Microsoft, rather, seem to be doing right in the next version of Windows. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly where they take it. And what it seems to me, more often than not, is that what they're doing is they've taken the feedback that people have been giving them about Vista. They're actually putting it to good work, good use, and they've been using the private betas that they've been putting out there to actually refine the user experience more than refine the actual product itself. Because when Vista's beta was released, there were a lot of bugs in the code and everything like that. There seems to be less bugs in this version. They seem to be looking to be tweaking the perception a little bit more and tweaking the user experience more than they had in the past. All right, moving right along to the closest thing we have to consumable cruft here today. USB lunchbox warmer heats your bento to a toasty 140 degrees. Now, I have one USB warming gadget. My friend Jimmy bought me a USB coaster that's supposed to warm your coffee mug. So I plugged it in, sat it there for about 20 minutes on a hot cup of coffee, and the coffee had still cooled off. There was nothing going. So I took the coffee mug off and touched the plate, and it burned my hand. The only thing I've ever seen USB devices capable of burning is skin. So I don't know if this is going to be any different. It comes with an entire package to allow you to, kind of like an MRE, meals ready to eat, that the American military uses. It appears to have a heating pad that's designed to go inside of a tiny little box so that you can heat your food up en masse inside it. I'm not a fan of heating things via USB. I think that's pretty much it. But it's only $20, so it's kind of interesting in and of itself. All right, that about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination Podcast. I would like to apologize for the quality of today's show. It's been kind of all over the place. And for the whining at the beginning of the show. So thank thank you so much for listening, everybody. And I'd like to one more time congratulate all of the winners on today's show. You will be getting an email from me tomorrow morning, because I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be too lucid if I was to attempt to email you today. It's quite late in the evening here. Alright, thank you so much for listening. This has been the Caffeination Podcast, located lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. We are the Caffeination Podcast. We are also a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. Everybody's listed over at techpodcasts.com. And last but most certainly not least, the Caffeination Podcast is a Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about what that means, head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. Remember, all your comments, feedback, suggestions, please fire them off to caffeination@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Stay caffeinated, people.